You're listening to ThoughtCast. I'm Jenny Atiyah, and I'm speaking with Anant Agarwal, the president of the online learning initiative edX. This Harvard-MIT partnership offers world-class instruction to anyone with a fast internet connection for free. It went online in the spring of 2012, and since then, its course offerings, student enrollment, and prestige have all grown remarkably. Clearly, edX is no fly-by-night startup. It's here to stay and to shape what's to come. Anant Agarwal, welcome to ThoughtCast.
Oh, thank you. My pleasure.
Anant, you're the first president of edX, and you taught its first course, Circuits and Electronics, which attracted over 150,000 students. You've also been described as a visionary and a revolutionary, and you've said that edX can and will change the world. How will it do that?
So edX will do it through education. Education is a basic human right, and education is the path to economic prosperity. It's the path to enlightenment. It's the path to peace, to happiness, and even to public health. So I really believe that by making education available to everybody, we can really change the world.
Have you given any thought to the political impact or the potential political impact of edX?
So I can think of many ways in which edX can have a political impact. I think whenever something is transformative and disruptive and changing the world, there will be a lot of debates and discussions about it as people worry and think about policies and the kind of impact it will have around the world. But the one simple example I like to give is how I think it can bring people around the world closer together. On our discussion forums, I've seen discussions between students from Pakistan, from Colombia, from the US, from New Zealand, from India, from Canada, from all over the world, having discussing and working problems together. So just imagine what the world will look like 10 years from now, when these same kids that have worked on problems together from all around the world now become leaders in their own right, having worked with kids from all the other countries. I think people will have a much better understanding of each other, having collaborated with each other. So I think my hope is that this can cause broader change in the world than just in education.
What about unintended political consequences to creating greater access to education? What about making education available in an environment where perhaps there's an attempt to limit education, for example, where women are not encouraged to have an education?
No, I think online learning is really a great democratizer. Everybody gets access. Doesn't matter what your sex is, what your income level is, what your geography is, what your language is, what your family history is. It doesn't matter. Everybody gets access to education. So this is a real incredible democratizer. I've talked to young global leaders and shapers at the World Economic Forum from the Middle East, and they were very excited about edX, and they said the leadership in the Middle Eastern countries were really excited about education, particularly the queens and their respective foundations, because here was an opportunity to be able to give women an education in their own homes where they necessarily would not have to go out and be in places where they may not be otherwise allowed to go. So certainly in the example you mentioned of being able to provide education to women, I think this would certainly be the case. I think we have 80 to 85,000 students from Africa alone, and where students who have not had access to education in various parts of the world can now get access to education. All they need to have is an internet connection and the will to learn.
It seems to be the case that across the globe, when women are educated, birth rates plummet and people make more money. Women start creating businesses for themselves. Would you agree to that trend?
I hadn't thought of that one. as I said, education leads to better public health. It leads to better economic prosperity. Now you're telling me that education can also reduce the population crisis in nations like India and other places. I completely believe that. As women get educated and they learn options available to them, as they learn about new opportunities, now they have choices and they can do things that they may not otherwise have been able to do. So I can fully believe that statement.
Anant Agarwal, you came from an intellectual family in Mangalore, India, clearly one that did not have to struggle to pay for your schooling, for your textbooks, for the clothing on your back. But you were surrounded by vast numbers of your fellow citizens who did not have your advantages and never would. What impact did that have on you?
You know, certainly we realized, how lucky we were. Even growing up in a middle-class family, where we could afford things that others couldn't, the education was always very inexpensive. In high school, I believe my total tuition was 50 cents a year. In IIT, just great undergraduate institutions, and this was not all that long ago, 30 years ago, I'm not all that old, my tuition, I think, was less than the equivalent of $10 or $20 a year. So education was very inexpensive to begin with, and so if you could get into one of the good schools, you know, your education was paid for. And so I think for resources that are basic human rights, you know, I would really believe that the nations and policymakers and government should find a way to make them accessible to everybody. But certainly for us growing up, you know, we saw the number of people that did not have access to education. And I think that certainly is in large part motivating my own search to help people around the world get access to good education, because it really leads to self-empowerment, enlightenment, and all-around happiness and prosperity for people.
But like in India, most impoverished people around the globe can't really take advantage of your courses at edX because they haven't had high school education. They haven't had, in some cases, any education at all. How can you help those people?
So edX is starting with higher ed. When you do a startup company, you try not to be all things to all people. edX is a nonprofit startup, so we are starting with higher ed. Our courses are already being taken by high schoolers. Some of our partner universities are creating AP-level courses, and some of them are talking about even creating what are called on-ramps courses, which are precursors to advanced high school courses. So we will continue expanding. You know, there's nothing to say that online learning cannot be used all the way to the kindergarten eventually. In fact, a millennial generation are completely comfortable with the keyboard and mouse, and so texting and tweeting and so on. So I see no reason why everybody of any age can have access. Now, there is an issue. You have to have an access to a broadband connection and a device. And so the worry is not so much whether you have the basic education, but the worry is whether you have a basic internet connection and some basic money to buy some basic devices. So here, I really believe that world organizations and NGOs and nonprofits and governments should begin looking into creating not bricks and mortar infrastructures, but e-learning infrastructures, which involve national communication infrastructures, wireless access, cheap devices. So for example, in India, a huge amount of investment has gone into a $40 low-cost tablet called the Akash. So we need a lot of efforts like that. It's much cheaper to provide this kind of infrastructure to large numbers of people than to build more bricks and mortar buildings.
If we look closer to home, we also have a huge income and education gap between the top 1% and the rest of the country, or to play it safe, the top 10% and the rest. That kind of gap could be really seen as a disaster for our democracy. Democracy really requires an educated population to function properly. Could edX be seen as a tool for working on that problem?
You know, I think the work that edX and other organizations are doing with MOOCs and online learning, I think can really help there as well. You know, when you see veterans coming back from the Middle East and other places, there's just not enough seats in our community colleges to absorb all of them. Just as an example, in the California State University system, there's far more students that want an education than the system is capable of supporting. So even within the U.S., we have a real challenge with offering quality education, higher education, or even high school education to learners around the country. And it's a well-documented fact that people with higher education do much better in terms of earning than people without a college degree. And even within people that have a college degree, those that have a college degree in biotech, in computer science, in certain areas of engineering, and so on, certainly have much higher earning potential than other disciplines. And in fact, we have two kinds of gaps. We have the haves and have-nots, which you talked about, but we also have a gap between the number of available jobs in these high-tech areas and the number of people with degrees in high-tech areas, which is why our companies are clamoring to increase immigration so we can get them from outside. Heck, we can solve the problem internally by offering education more widely so that we can grow great engineers and technical expertise within our nation. So I think we can really narrow that gap as well through online learning.
Last question, Anant. How can edX continue to offer these courses for free?
So our goal is to try to offer courses for free to people around the world and also improve campus education. With internet startups and startups of any sort, if you are providing incredible value to large numbers of people, it is well understood that you can find ways of generating a revenue stream that will sustain you. So that is sort of an abstract answer. But that said, even though we are a nonprofit, we want to be sustainable. We're looking for ways to generate revenue over the long term. We are already revenue positive. We are trying out a number of pilots. So one example is we have a very high quality learning platform. And a number of organizations around the world are talking to us about using a platform to offer training and learning within their own organizations. So that could be a revenue source for edX. So for example, we announced a collaboration with the International Monetary Fund that will be using our platform to offer courses to government officials and within their network. Similarly, we also have courses from some of the best universities in the world, and edX is able to license these courses to others, whether it's corporations or other universities that want to use these courses to train their own students or their own personnel. There's another revenue source for edX. So there's a number of such businesses that we are piloting to try to be self-sustaining.
Anant Agarwal, thank you very, very much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. My pleasure.
You've been listening to ThoughtCast from the edX offices in Cambridge, Massachusetts. I'm Jenny Attia. Thanks for joining us.